إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, he entered in upon a city where the majority of its inhabitants were still non-Muslims. We need to understand, many of us, when we think of Medina, we think of an entire Islamic society. Yes, that was the case at the end. But when he entered the city, perhaps 15, maximum 20% were Muslim. The majority of the city was a non-Muslim city when he entered Medina, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he entered the city, the people of the city were expecting him, waiting for him. They were gathering outside, wanting to see who is this man, what is his message, what is he teaching. There was excitement, suspense building up. And one of the people who was there narrated to us the very first hadith or khutbah or lecture he gave as soon as he entered the city of Medina. One of the people who was there was the chief rabbi of Medina, Yahudi, chief rabbi. And his name is Abdullah ibn Salam. And Abdullah ibn Salam, at the time, he was a Yahudi. And he was expecting the Prophet to come. And he wanted to check, is this the same Prophet that Musa predicted? Is this the one that we're waiting for or not? So he, as a rabbi, is amongst the first people to greet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he narrates to us this beautiful hadith, which will be the topic of my khutbah today. The hadith is narrated by Abdullah ibn Salam in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, and it is authentic. And he says, I was amongst the first people who greeted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he entered the city of Medina. And as soon as I saw him, I recognized that his face was not the face of a liar. Allah. Abdullah ibn Salam accepted Islam by looking at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened his mouth, the beauty, the majesty, the spiritual light that Allah had gifted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, it affected people of ikhlas and sincerity. And Abdullah ibn Salam was a sincere person. He was a sincere person looking for the truth. And we as Muslims believe that there is a type of perception, a spiritual perception. The Arabic term is firasa. And firasa means you can detect something, call it a sixth sense, call it an intuition. Those people of iman and taqwa, they have something, and people sometimes they meet another person and something's going on in their minds. This person, something's not right about him. This is what we call firasa. And according to our religion, this is an Islamic concept. The more iman and taqwa you have, the more correct your firasa is. And Abdullah ibn Salam had this firasa. And by looking and gazing at the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he converted. Who amongst us can claim that somebody converts to Islam by looking at him other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Abdullah ibn Salam basically converts looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says, the first words that he spoke were this. So this is the first, call it a khutbah, call it a hadith, call it a khatir, a maw'idah, the first advice he gives when he enters the city of Medina. And what is this advice? أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ وَتُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ Four commandments followed by one prediction, one blessing. Four commandments. O people, O mankind. Notice he's not saying, O Muslims. He's entering a city, the majority of whom are non-Muslim. O mankind, أيها الناس, the message of Islam is not just for the people in this masjid. The message of Islam is not just for me and you. أيها الناس, this is what I'm calling you to. O people, this is my message to you. And he mentioned four things. Now listen to me carefully. Each one of these four things represents something bigger than it. It's not just these things. Each one is a pillar. And he mentions the door that opens up the big pillar or the big room. Each one of these four is an indication for a far bigger aspect of our lives. What are these four things? O people, O mankind. Number one, afshu salam. Spread the salam. Number two, tut'imu ta'am. Feed the hungry. Number three, silu al-arham. Be good to your family. Number four, sallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam. Pray at night when everybody's asleep. If you do these four things, I guarantee you, تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. You will enter Jannah in salam and peace. So what are these four things and what does each one represent? That is the topic of my brief and short khutbah today. Number one, spread the salam. Spread the salam here means spread the greetings of salam. Say salam wherever you go. Say salam. Now what does this indicate, say salam? Remember I said, what did I say? Each one of these four indicate something bigger than it. Each one of these four is the key that opens up the door to something that is much greater than it. So number one, spreading the salam indicates perfecting your akhlaq with one another. Why? Because how do you begin and how do you end any interaction with another human being? You begin and end with the salam. Soon as you meet somebody, you begin salam. And then when you're leaving, you end with salam. By the Prophet ﷺ saying, perfect the salam, spread the salam, make sure you say it and you mean it. What this indicates is your akhlaq, your interactions with other people, they have to be based on salam. And spreading salam doesn't just mean saying assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. No, it means saying it, meaning it, saying it, acting upon it. What does assalamu alaikum mean? Do we even know that? It means, salamu alaykum is a statement of fact, and it is a dua, and it is a mention of the names of Allah, all three in one. It is a statement of fact. Assalamu alaykum, may no harm and evil touch you. So statement of fact, I'm not going to harm you because I'm wishing for you salam. How can I say assalamu alaykum and at the same time harm you with my hand, with my tongue, with my akhlaq? What type of salam is this? How can I say assalamu alaikum and then backbite you? How can I say assalamu alaikum and then myself cause you harm and I've just said assalamu alaikum? So, assalamu alaikum is a statement of fact that I'm not going to harm you. It's also a dua. Assalamu alaikum, may no harm ever touch you. I want what's best for you. I don't want you to suffer and be in pain. My happiness is your happiness. Your happiness is my happiness. And it's also mentioning the name of Allah because one of the names of Allah is what? As-salam. So when we say as-salamu alaykum, we are also saying, may Allah who is as-salam be watching over you. May Allah who is as-salam be protecting you. May Allah who is as-salam bless you with salam. So when we say assalamu alaikum, what we are doing, we are indicating to our brethren, our sisters, we're indicating to anybody we say salam to, that no harm will come to you from me. And I want only what is good for you. And I make dua to Allah that the best and only the best happens to you. Can you imagine if all of society perfected the salam? Where would evil come from? Can you imagine if everybody perfected the salam, as our Prophet ﷺ said, spread the salam, perfect the salam. If we truly perfected the salam, there would be no lying, no cheating, no stealing, no backstabbing, they would all be gone. Because that is what spreading the salam entails. So point number one, monitor your akhlaq with other people and perfect the salam. Point number two, and by the way, afshu salam, our Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ayyul Islami Afdal? Whose Islam is the best? In other words, in our English, which Muslim is the best Muslim? And the hadith goes on, but one of the things the Prophet ﷺ said, the Muslim who says salam to everybody, the one he recognizes and the one he does not recognize. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, we have a problem in our modern Muslim world that we only say salam to those whom we recognize. And that's not the sunnah. We only say salam to those whom we recognize. No, you say salam to everybody. And when you say salam, you say it from the qalb, not from the lisan. You say it and you mean it. As-salamu alaykum. May Allah, who is as-salam, give you salam. Nothing but good. Salam means the absence of harm. Salam means the absence of evil. So as-salamu alaykum, may no harm ever befall you. May no misery, may you never be in pain. So number one, spread the salam, perfect the salam. And I said, what does it mean? Perfect your akhlaq. Number two, tut'imu at-ta'am. Feed your food to the hungry. Feed your food to the hungry. Dear brothers and sisters, being a good Muslim is not something that requires selfishness. You can't be selfish and be a good Muslim. Being a good Muslim is not a private matter. Being a good Muslim doesn't just mean you go to your home and you go to the masjid and you go back home and you go to the masjid. No. تطعم الطعام. Feed your food to the hungry. Do you know, my dear brothers and sisters, that the first commandments of our religion had nothing to do with salah and zakah and hajj? Do you know that salah became obligatory 13 years after Iqra was revealed? Do you know zakah and siyam became obligatory 15 years after Iqra was revealed? Hajj became obligatory 20 years after Iqra was revealed. I want you to think about that. For more than a decade, those early Muslims are not being told to pray or to fast or to give zakah or to go for hajj. Think about it. So then what was Islam? What was Islam without these rituals? Because rituals came later on. Much can be said. But do you know what the second commandment Allah revealed in the Quran was? The first we all know, worship Allah alone, avoid idolatry, right? That's the first commandment, la ilaha illallah, avoid the false gods. Of course. Do you know the second amr in the Quran that was revealed? Do you know the second aspect of purity of Islam that Allah revealed? Look at the early Meccan surahs. Read the early Meccan surahs. How Allah describes those Muslims who weren't obligated to fast or to give zakat or to pray. How does Allah describe them? وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. The believers are those, they give of their food, even though they love that food, they need that food, they desire that food. They share their food with the beggars, with the orphans, with the prisoners of war. And they say to them, we are giving you this food, don't thank us. Don't thank us. Not, we don't want your thanks. We want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam cannot just be personal rituals. The second pillar of this hadith of four, remember I said each one of these represents something else? The second pillar of feeding the hungry, it represents social work. It represents giving back to the community. It represents standing with the oppressed, feeding the hungry, sponsoring the orphan, helping anybody who is in need. And my dear brothers and sisters, and I'm sorry for being so blunt here, and I am a guest and visitor to your land and your masjid, but wallahi, I don't have the time, none of us has the time to be politically correct anymore. We need to call a spade a spade. One of the problems of Western Islam, one of the problems of Muslims living in the West, is that they have neglected this very important pillar of giving back to their own communities. They live selfish, isolationist, bubble lives. And they don't understand a part of Islam is to be social. A part of Islam is to feed the hungry, is to have soup kitchens, is to do something for your own community, regardless of whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Hunger is not an Islamic problem, it's a human problem. And if you look at the seerah of the Prophet, when this verse came down, there were no Muslim prisoners of war, there were no Muslim yatama. The verse comes down in early Mecca, and the majority of people of Mecca are pagans. And Allah says, the believers are those who they give of their own food to these pagans. Because it doesn't matter. Hunger is a human problem. And a hungry child, we don't ask him, are you Muslim so I can give you the food? Wallahi, what Islam is this? You're going to quiz the child, what is your religion that I can donate to you? We have an issue, brothers and sisters, that many Western Muslims have failed to do what our Prophet ﷺ did, which is what? To be compassionate and sympathetic to those in need around them. And because of this, people have misunderstandings about our faith. Look at our Prophet ﷺ. What did he do for those 40 years before Iqra came? The first 40 years of his life, what was he known for? He was known for being the compassionate, the trustworthy, the sadiq, the ameen. I always say this. He was known as a sadiq and an ameen before anybody ever called him a rasul and a nabi. And that is very important. Before you open your mouth with a new theology, before you open your mouth with a new religion, you have to show the people you genuinely care about them. When Iqra came and the Prophet comes rushing back to Khadija, Zammiluni, Dathiruni, Khadija calms him down. What does Khadija say? Hadith is in Bukhari. What does Khadija say? That paragraph, wallahi, we should memorize it. What does Khadija say? La wallahi, la yukhzika Allahu abada. No, by Allah, Allah will never humiliate you. Allah will never cause you to go astray. Why? Number one, you're good to your family. Number two, you feed the hungry. Number three, you take care of the orphan. Number four, you are generous with those who need generosity. Number five, وَتُعِينُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And anytime some good needs to be done in this society, you're at the forefront doing it. Now, who was our Prophet being generous to? Muslims? There were no Muslims in his first 40 years of life. Brothers and sisters, look at the rising Islamophobia. Look at the sentiments around us. And understand that if we were following the sunnah, and a part of the sunnah is to care for the compassionate of our societies, a part of the sunnah is to have soup kitchens in our time, a part of the sunnah is anybody who's downtrodden and oppressed, we stand up for their rights. And remember, when you stand up for truth and justice, one of the early points of Islam, no to racism. And Bilal al-Habashi, Salman al-Farisi, Suhaib al-Rumi are all equal to the elite of the Quraysh if they have iman and taqwa. That was not politically correct to say at that time. But truth shall always prevail. And if we stand up to those whose rights are being transgressed, if we stand up and protect the oppressed, if we stand up for the orphan, for the poor, for those who don't have shelter, yes, it is true. It is true, we will get positive PR. But let me also say one thing. That should not be our goal. That should not be our goal. We will get positive PR. But our goal should be what? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And you see, brothers and sisters, let me be very explicit here. Feeding the hungry is not good PR for Islam. Feeding the hungry is a necessary part of Islam. We do it for the sake of Allah. And the good that happens is a gift from Allah. But we do it for the sake of Allah. What are the first surahs revealed? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. One of the first surahs revealed. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, haven't you seen the one who has rejected the Day of Judgment, rejected religion, rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one who rejects Allah, that is the one who pushes the orphan away. That is the one who does not encourage the feeding of the hungry and the poor. Which means what? If you believe in Allah, you will embrace the orphan. If you believe in Allah, you will feed the hungry and the poor. وَتُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Social work. The biggest problem of poverty is hunger. So when our Prophet says, eliminate hunger, this means people that don't have clothes, you give them clothes. People who don't have shelter, you give them shelter. People who need anything, you give them that thing. This is a necessary part of Islam. And I'm sorry for being blunt here, but wallahi, I speak as a person who travels across the Western world. I feel we have miserably failed in living up to the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know how he was. When you compare our communities, where, how far do we have? So number two, social activism. Number three, silul arham. Be good to your family. Fulfill the ties of kinship. How can you be a good human to your colleagues and co-workers and a bad father or mother or a bad husband and wife? Wallahi, it is easy to put on a show of good akhlaq amongst your co-workers. You sit with them 3, 4, 5 hours and you go home. It's easy to pretend to be polite when you're in public. Do you know the real people who know who you are? It's your family. And that is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The best person amongst you all is the one who is the best to his family. You know, if your wife, if your children genuinely respect you and love you, chances are you're a good person. And if your wife and your children despise you, when you come home, you become a Frankenstein, a monster. Outside, cheerful, smiley. You come home, you become the tyrant at home. That is your true akhlaq. How can you be good to strangers and nasty to your own family? That's not the good Muslim. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ. Be good to your family, your immediate family, your parents, your children, and then of course your cousins, your uncle. So family is the building block of society. When you make family strong, society is strong. And when family tears down, society tears down. So one of the principles of our religion, there are four principles in this hadith, right? Number one, good akhlaq with everybody. Number two, social activism, give back to your communities. Number three, family. Family, because society needs good family. And then last, but not least, nonetheless, last, personal rituals. Notice in this hadith, where did it come? وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Pray at night when everybody is asleep. Don't have to publicize your ibadat. Pray at night when everybody is asleep. Rituals are important, dear brothers and sisters, but there were three things that were mentioned before rituals. Rituals are important, let nobody misunderstand. But the Prophet ﷺ emphasized three things before he got to the rituals. And then he even said about the rituals, the more private the better. You don't need to show me your rituals. You don't need to post on Facebook how many times you pray and your no, private, as much as possible, private. It is important, but keep as much as you can private. And remember, Islam is not just rituals. Let me say another difficult statement, brothers and sisters, and I don't want to offend anybody, but wallahi, we are in a serious problem right now. The pressures around us, whatnot, we need to understand, we don't have time to bury our head in the sand and ignore everything. What we have done, many of us, Islam is now only about rituals. What we have done, Islam is concentrated only in the rituals. And we ignore the other elements of Islam. Good akhlaq, being honest, having a pure heart, wanting what's good for other people, feeding the hungry, being good family members. This is just as Islamic as the other element as well. Please, nobody misunderstand me. Of course, it's important to pray. Of course, we have to fast. Of course, but in this hadith, it's there. But there are other things as well. Why do we jump over the first three and we concentrate on the fourth? Remember what our Prophet ﷺ said. Verily a man reaches the place of the one who fasts every day and prays all night simply by his good akhlaq. You don't have to be the sawam, qawam, the one who, in order to get to the highest place of Jannah. Islam is a comprehensive, holistic way of life. It's not just ibadat that define you as a Muslim. It's how you are as a person. It's how you are with your wife, with your children. It's how you are in society. All of this is also important when it comes to defining your Islam. And even rituals, the more private, the better it is. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Yes, some rituals have to be in public. Jumu'ah has to be in public. But otherwise, as much as you can do in private, do it in private. And of course, this hadith concentrates on tahajjud. Why? Because he who perfects tahajjud perfects everything else. And this clearly indicates each one of these four things is a window to much bigger than it. Because the one who protects tahajjud, have you ever heard of anybody who prays tahajjud and he doesn't pray the five prayers? It's impossible, right? Have you heard of anybody who prays tahajjud and he doesn't fast Ramadan? Doesn't work that way. So by mastering tahajjud, you've mastered the ibadat, the rituals. And that shows us each one of these four, it's one thing, if you master it, everything else follows it, right? So these are the four things that are mentioned. Number one, good akhlaq with other people by through the salam. Number two, social activism through feeding the hungry, primarily. Number three, being good with your family. And number four, your personal ibadat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do these four things, what did our Prophet ﷺ say? I guarantee you shall enter Jannah in salam, in peace. And this hadith is called the hadith of salam. Why? Because it's narrated by Abdullah ibn Salam, and it begins with Salam, and it ends with Salam. Spread the Salam, you shall enter Jannah in Salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that Salam in this world and the Akhirah. بارك الله ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من آيات والذكر الحكيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين كل ذنب فاستغفره إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, it is typically not my methodology to talk about anything of a political nature when I'm in another land, but unfortunately the circumstances call for us to comment on the tragedy that took place in the neighboring land of Belgium, the bombing that took place in Brussels. And my dear brothers and sisters, we have to be very, very clear and explicit here that it is an undeniable reality that all of the scholars of Islam, from the East to the West, of all different theological schools, have agreed that these types of terroristic attacks, number one, go against the Quran and Sunnah, and number two, cause more harm than good. Both of these are realities. And if you do not agree with number one, because there are people out there, they might be a small percentage, but there are people out there who have self-taught ulama, who have people that have studied on their own, and they're attempting to justify these deeds by snippets of lectures here and there, by quoting an incident of the seerah here and there. But I stand by what I say. No scholar of repute, no scholar who has established his scholarly credentials of any theological school, has ever justified and condoned the killing of innocent civilians in this particular manner that's taking place. You don't just go and you bomb people in this manner. It is haram and it goes against the Quran and the Sunnah and the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for those small groups of people who don't agree with what we are saying and our interpretation, 99.99% of the world says this, you follow your self-taught ulama. Look at the second point. Look at the second reality. Forget the text then. Use your common sense. Has any good come by more bloodshed, by more violence, by killing more people? Look at the realities of the last 15 years. More invasions, more bombs, more drones, more draconian laws, more problems of the Muslim community. Who has benefited in all of this bloodshed, this senseless violence? Dear brothers and sisters, please use the intelligence that Allah has given you. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. I personally am one of the most vocal critics of much of Western foreign policy. Don't call me some type of stooge for America. I am an American and I criticize my own country, perhaps one of the most vocal. Listen to my lectures on YouTube. I criticize the foreign policy, but that doesn't mean we kill the innocents around us who have no clue, no understanding, nothing to do with that foreign policy. What vision, what aql, what Quran and Sunnah are you using? We live in this land. You've gone to school with these people. They are not the ones guilty for the crimes of Iraq or the crimes of Afghanistan or whatnot. They're living their daily lives. By what justification are you going to say that it is permissible to kill these people? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, it applies in some circumstances. You cannot open up the Quran and books of fiqh and then think you are a faqih. This is the biggest problem of these movements, brothers and sisters. The equivalent is somebody opening up a book of neurosurgery, finding a paragraph, and then performing neurosurgery right then and there. My dear brother and sister in Islam, look at the ulama who, forget me, there are people that have spent 50, 60 years in the ilm, and they are the senior ulama of the world. They were reputable before all of this fitna began. Find me one amongst them who has justified these types of deeds. You will not find them. The only groups of people that justify these deeds are young people that have self-taught their faith. They have read a few books, maybe done this and that, and then they're saying, oh, it is halal because of this ayah, it is halal because of that verse and whatnot. Brothers and sisters, you don't just open up the text and then cut and paste according to your whims and desires. And if you disagree with this point number one, point number two, which is, what good has ever come out of anything of this nature? Dear brothers and sisters, please think, use your rash. This is not the religion of Islam. Look at the seerah of the Prophet. Do you know what Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri says, one of the greatest scholars of the Tabi'un? He studied with some of the Sahaba. Do you know what al-Zuhri said? He said, the best time for the da'wah of Islam in the seerah of the Prophet, when most people converted, more people converted in that time frame than any other time frame, was when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was in effect and everybody lived in peace and people saw the reality of Muslims. More people converted during peace than all of the wars before that. This is what Az-Zuhri is saying. And Az-Zuhri is not, astaghfirullah, American sellout. He's a tabi'i who studied with the Sahaba. Ibn Shihab Az-Zuhri clearly said the biggest benefit for Islam was that period of peace when people could see the reality of Islam. Brothers and sisters, imagine if Allah had not blessed you to be born in a Muslim family. And you are living in another family, and all you hear about Islam is bombs and violence and terroristic issues. What will be your impression of Islam and of the Prophet of Islam? This is what these groups have accomplished. And I say loudly and clearly, these radical groups have harmed the image of Islam infinitely more than all of the foreign policy of Western lands combined. They have harmed the image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam infinitely more than all of the Western foreign policy blunders combined. Because those blunders didn't harm the image of Islam. Yes, innocent Muslims were killed, I agree. But harming the image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bringing in negative concepts of Islam, it is these groups that have done it, not Western policy. Dear brothers and sisters, ask the people of knowledge. Go to those whom you trust. Find out, and you know, bravery doesn't necessarily mean every single time fighting and killing. Yes, there's a time to be brave in that manner, and there's sometimes a time to be brave in other manners. Look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will understand these actions have nothing to do with that blessed seerah. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah azza wa jal clearly mentions in the Quran that whoever kills an innocent life, it is as if he has killed all of mankind. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever kills a mu'ahid, and a mu'ahid is a non-Muslim whom we have a treaty with, whoever kills a mu'ahid will not smell the scent of paradise, even though its smell goes to such a long distance. And our scholars of today have said that us living in these lands, it is a type of ahd, it is a type of treaty, that we are not allowed to view these people except as people whom we have a treaty with. That's what the passport and the visa indicates, that we have signed the contract, we are tacitly approving. None of our senior scholars of any school, has justified these deeds. So please, brothers and sisters, ask the real people of knowledge and see for yourselves what has happened. And then do what you can to dispel these myths. Follow this hadith, have good manners, be charitable in social work, be good to your family, and perfect your rituals. This is the best da'wah to Islam. Brothers and sisters, this hadith that I quoted today is the hadith of Salam. And realize that we are the people of Islam, and we spread Salam wherever we go. And we believe in the Lord who is the Lord of Salam. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Salam comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are the ones who spread that salam in this world. So we ask Allah who is as-salam that he makes us the people of Islam. And we also pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are the true believers of as-salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call us to enter his abode, because his abode is called Darus Salam. Jannah is called Darus Salam. So we want to get to Darus Salam, and Allah is calling us, and Allah who is As-Salam is calling us to Darus Salam. Wallahu yad'u ila Darus Salam. So we are the people of Salam and the people of Islam, and we believe in As-Salam, and we want to enter Darus Salam. And do you know what will happen when the people who believed in As-Salam and who spread the Salam and who perfect Islam, do you know what will happen when they enter Darus Salam? As-salam will greet them with the greetings of salam. Salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim. Tahiyyatuhum yawma yalqawnahu salam. So we believe in salam, and we worship as-salam, and we spread salam, and we want to enter Darus Salam. And our sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we are the people whom he greets with the greetings of salam as we enter Darus Salam. Because my dear brothers and sisters, when as-salam sends his salam, upon the people of Salam as they enter Darus Salam. No harm, no evil, no fatigue, no suffering can ever touch them, because Allah, who is As-Salam, has guaranteed Salam to those people. And that is why that place is called Jannah, because there is nothing in Jannah except for Salam. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tada'na fi hadhi yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wala hamman illa farajta, wala daynan illa qadayta, wala maridan illa shafayta, wala asiran illa yassarta. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة